want stuff, and we are talking about getting what you want. You know, this message actually came into my heart a while ago, this verse that has been on my heart probably for like a couple of months. I would say almost 6 months, this verse has just been on my heart, just kind of sitting there. But this actually came out of a conversation I was having with a youth worker. A few months ago, me and Jaden, we were talking, and we were just talking about the stuff we want. What do we want in our future? What do we want now? And then we start talking about our relationship with God. We start talking about what is it exactly that we want a relationship with God to look like. And then probably a few weeks later, I was sitting outside after Sunday night service talking with a youth worker, and she actually has kids, and she was telling me all this stuff she was doing with her kids. I was like, dang, mom of the year? Okay, trying to show off over here. Like, I literally had never heard of someone doing all of this stuff with their kids. Like, some people post it on Instagram, but I think they're lying sometimes because I've seen their kids in real life. I don't know. And so I was just like, man. And she was talking. I said, can I just stop you? Like, I just think you're such a good mom. Like, I want to be a mom like you. And she said the reason she is the way she is because her and her husband had a conversation years ago when the kids were little. And she said, we don't want to be mediocre parents. She said, we don't want to put in mediocre effort and then get mediocre results. And I just thought that was so interesting. It was like, oh, and it hit me. I think I told you that night about our conversation because it just hit my heart. And I thought to myself, I don't want to be a mediocre Christian. I don't want to be the Christian where I'm mediocre and I put in mediocre effort and I get mediocre results. And maybe God comes through sometimes and maybe God does cool stuff every so often. But I don't want to be that Christian. I want to be something different. You know what I'm saying? Like, I want to go deeper. Like, I want to be stronger. Like, I want to see God do things in my life that are going to literally blow my mind. And this was just like this desire getting deep on the inside of me. And that's where this verse comes in. Everyone, if you have a Bible, anyone got a real Bible up in the place? Oh my goodness, I haven't seen those in years. Okay, turn to Luke 5:4. Go and turn to Luke 5:4. If not, if you have a phone, you are still welcome to highlight Luke 5:4. I gotta find it. Okay, here we go. And Jesus, where is it? Oh yeah, here we go. I'm going to start in verse 1. It says, one day Jesus was preaching on the Galilee, on the Sea of Galilee. Great crowds pressed in on him and listen to the word of God. He noticed two empty boats at the water's edge, for the fishermen had left them and they were washing their nets. Stepping into one of the boats, you see how Jesus just, he's like a thug. Like, he didn't even ask first. He just got into the boat. Jesus said to Simon Peter, push it out into the water. And he sat in the boat and taught the crowds from there. Verse 4, this is where you pick it up. It said, when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon Peter, this is what gets my heart. This is what, man, this verse has just been in me and pushing me. He said to Simon Peter, now go out to where it is deeper. Let down your nets and catch some fish. And he said, Master, Simon replied, we worked hard all last night and we didn't catch a thing. But if you say so I'll let down the nets again. And this time their nets were so full of fish, they began to tear. You see, that verse, it just so hit me the first time I read it. Because I love what Jesus said. He said, listen, go to the deep. There is a place of deep. There is a place with God that is deep. He said, leave the shallow behind. There is something deeper I'm calling you to. And then he said, and then Simon Peter said that when he actually did it, that the fish, there were so many fish that the nets began to tear. I truly believe, Shift, that God is calling us to a place of the deep. Listen, I don't know about you, but in my spiritual life, I want my spiritual life to be so full and so different and so amazing that the nets begin to literally tear, and the boxes that I put God in, he begins to burst out. That is the place of the deep. You see, I want to hear God's voice. I want to go to the deep. I really do. I want to hear the voice of God in my life. I want to go to the deep. I want to be reading the Bible and it come alive. I want to see places of victory in my life that I never thought I could overcome. I want to go to the deep. I want to be so close to Jesus that people see Jesus when they see me. I want to go the deep. You know, I've read in scriptures about these marvelous things, about these miracles, about when the Holy Spirit fell like fire. I want that. I want to go to the deep. That is a desire in my heart. Is there anyone out there who wants to go to the deep? Come on now. I want to see God move us into the deep. I want to be part of something bigger than myself. In fact, I would go as far as to say the deep is, you know, it can be a little abstract when you're trying to describe it, right? Like I was trying to describe it to one of the interns. They're like, I just don't know what the deep is. You know, I'm like, that's okay, I don't either. But all these things we're talking about, I don't want to be a secondhand experience. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't want to just hear about these things as a secondhand experience. When I'm reading the Bible and I'm seeing that people were healed immediately and people came to Jesus in a heartbeat and these crowds came together and they all gave their life to God. Like, I don't want to just read it as a secondhand experience. You ever have a pastor tell you a story and you're like, oh my gosh, that sounds amazing. Well, you didn't do it, so it's a secondhand experience. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't want that in my life. I want the firsthand experience of what God is doing. And it's different when it's you. It's different when God uses you. It's different when God speaks to you. It's a whole nother thing. It's the deep. You know, I would describe it like this. Like, we go on mission trips all the time, and we've gone to Peru quite a few times. And every time I try to find something adventurous to do, whether it's jumping out of waterfalls, zip lining, doing something crazy where our life is a little bit at risk and our angels that surround us are like a little bit nervous, you know what I'm saying? So I remember a while ago, we went to Peru one of these times, and it was a different island than we went to last time. And we found a waterfall that we had to climb through to the jungle, and in the middle of the jungle is this beautiful waterfall. And to get to the actual waterfall, right, you could stand there and you could watch, or you could climb this very, very thin cliff all the way up where it's like super slippery and you're like, ooh, I ain't gonna make it. And then you finally get to where the waterfall is and you look down and there's like a lot of rocks. Like, how do people like aim like that? You know, like, I don't know. And you finally get to the top and you have the decision to jump or to stay. And I remember there was two types of people there that day. There was people that said, you know what, I'm just going to stay right here. I can see it. It's beautiful. It's magical. God's creation right here. Okay? They just wanted to take it in. Then there's other people who took the climb, who made the sacrifice, who pushed through the fear and made it to the top of the waterfall. And I'll tell you what, when you jump in that waterfall, it is like the most wonderful thing after you make it. You're like, I did it. And you make it and you're alive and God's faithful and it's incredible. And then you come out on the other side and you stand by the people who didn't go. And it's the same waterfall you're looking at. Except you know the sacrifice. You know the fear. You know what it took. And it's a whole nother experience. It's not just the waterfall. It's an experience that you took in for yourself. All they get to see is the picture. That's it. That's all. And they are called wall huggers, all right? They're on the wall. They're like, I ain't going nowhere, okay? You see, a lot of times we're wall huggers in our walk with God. There's the deep, but it's going to take sacrifice. There's the deep things of God, but it's going to take pushing through some fear. There's the deep up with God, but it's going to take not being lazy. And I think God is calling us to push back those things. You see, a lot of times in our walk with God, we want joy without the sacrifice. We want character without the suffering. We want success without the failure. We want the pain. We want the gain without the pain. We want a testimony without the test. And we want it all without going all in. You see, it's going to take something from us. But the deep things of God, they are so worth it. They are so worth it. And I couldn't help but think of Joshua when I was thinking about this. I couldn't help but think of the great things that God is calling us to, and God is calling us into, and God is calling us from one thing into another. In fact, I got a word for somebody tonight. Ooh, God's about to speak. Somebody. Ooh, this is for somebody here tonight. Here we go. Here we go. Ready? Oh, God's speaking. The mountaintop of your Christianity is not to come to church and sit in a seat for an hour and a half a week. Hallelujah! Oh my goodness. Your mountaintop is not to come to this church for an hour and a half every single week. This is not your mountaintop. This is your foundation. God wants to take you deeper. God has greater things for you. Oh my goodness. What if God could restore that relationship in your life that you lost all hope for? What if God could, oh my goodness, what if God could allow you to forgive that person in your life who hurt you so deep? What if you could pray for somebody and they actually get healed right in front of you? You see, this is so important, the community gathering, receiving, but this is not all in all. This is just the foundation. And so Joshua, I can't help but think of Joshua's story. I actually don't preach about Joshua very much, although I know he's a favorite among many. But if you guys want to turn to Joshua in the third chapter, Joshua is the new kid on the block. Moses is gone. Joshua is here, and he is leading a group of people called the children of Israel. He's taking them to the promised land. He has to prove himself to these people. And you know what's interesting? God does amazing things in Joshua's life. And if you look in the Old Testament, anyone an Old Testament junkie? Like, that's where you at. You know what I'm saying? I love the Old Testament. Okay, not everybody. Oh, okay. All right. I thought there was maybe somebody, but I feel like God speaks to me through the Old Testament. And so in the Old Testament, you see a lot of the times right before God would do something crazy and wild and amazing, he would tell the people he was going to do it to, consecrate yourself. I don't know what it is about that word, but just, I don't know, consecrate. You know what I'm saying? Like, ooh, I don't know, just give me the chills. But he would say, consecrate yourself. In fact, with Joshua, he did the same exact thing. In Joshua 3:5, I'm going to explain consecrate in a minute, for those of you who are Googling it. It says, then Joshua told the people, God had spoken to him, purify yourselves, or consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do great wonders among you. That word is translated to consecrate. That's a big word, but for tonight, I'm going to use the definition of consecrate as this. He asks them to set yourself apart. Full devotion. It's dethroning yourself and enthroning Jesus. It's that simple. You see, before he would do something amazing, he said to them, I'm going to do something wonderful. I'm going to do something amazing. I'm going to do something that is literally going to blow your mind. And he does. It's wild. But he says, before I can do that, set yourself apart, get fully devoted, consecrate yourself, and I'll do it. And this is where we have our fundamental problems, all right? This is where we actually get it really, really backwards. We usually say to ourselves, I'm going to do something amazing for God. Just what? I'm going to make this happen. I'm going to try this. I'm going to make it. And you're like, I'm going to make it happen. Anyone ever been there? And you feel like a hamster on a wheel. You're like trying to make it happen, trying to make it happen, trying to make it happen. Take a water break, trying to make it happen. And that's where we get mixed up. God never said, you do the amazing things. He said, your job is simply consecrate yourself. Then he said, I'll do the amazing things. He said, just be fully devoted. Just be fully devoted. and then I'll come and I'll do amazing things through you. You don't have to try to make it happen. You don't have to do whatever you have to do, get on your knees and cry out to God. You don't. No, no, no. He says, consecrate yourself. That is your job. And so this devotion, we're going to kind of talk about what fully devotion means. You know, I think it's really hard to be fully devoted to someone you don't really know. And a lot of times when we hear fully devoted or dethrone or enthrone Jesus, we kind of get a little confused. We kind of get a little stressed out, like, oh my goodness, like this is where I start to fail. Well, you know, I am devoted to Jaden. Hey. I am devoted to him. We're getting married, and I am devoted to him, and he's devoted to me. And you know what didn't happen the day we decided to date? We didn't say, okay, we're just going to stay up for 24 hours. I'm going to know every story. I'm going to know everything you've ever done. You're going to tell me what annoys you. I'm going to tell you what annoys me, but he can't get annoyed at me because I'm perfect. And I'm going to need to know every single thing about you. We need to get to know each other now. Because that'd be crazy. I didn't know we got time for that. But over time, we began to get to know each other. Over time, we shared stories. Over time, we shared dreams. Over time, I realized the things I do that annoy him. And my goodness, I know the things he does that annoy me. Over time. But when we talk about this fully devotion of God and getting close with God, does anyone get like really stressed out? Like, oh, I got to read the Bible tonight. I got to figure it out. You feel this pressure all of a sudden of all these things you've got to do. But just take a deep breath. Because you're in a relationship with God. And full devotion means over time, discovering more of him, opening yourself up to him. Letting him speak to you, letting him talk to you. This is not a rat race. This is not a checklist. This is not something you need to beat yourself up over. This is a relationship. And he's saying, over time, ooh, we got to get close, girl. Don't even worry about it. Over time, I got you. That's the devotion we're looking for. And so how do we get to know this God? It's hard to be devoted to somebody you don't know. How do we get to know this God? In John 1:1, it says, in the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Listen, I know some of y'all are not going to like this. I apologize in advance. You are not going to like this. But he is saying the Word that was spoken at the beginning of time was God. The Word of God is God. You want to get to know your Savior? You want to get to know the one who created you? I hate to break it to some of y'all, but you got to read this. You want to know him? This is it. This is it. It's through reading the Word of God. It's through worship. It's through prayer. This right here. This is his character. This is his past faithfulness. This is his promises to you. This is him. And I think for some of us, we're already turned off. We're like, I ain't reading that thing. You can't make me read that. Right? Okay, just relax. But you want to be devoted. You want to go to the deep. You want to see God do things in your life you never imagined. You know that word deepness? You know what I really think they're saying? Spiritual maturity. That word deepness, full devotion, it's spiritual maturity. To be praying with him, to be worshiping him, to be in the Word of God, to be hearing him, and he will do amazing things among you. You know, just yesterday, I felt like I had a little consecrate moment. It was in the afternoon, and I was in the Word of God, and I was worshiping my way on to work, and then the Lord told me, he said, you need to ask her if she needs prayer. I was like, no, because he told me what she needed prayer for. I was like, I am not asking that. I ain't getting knocked out today, right? Like, it was just like I don't know, you know, asking, do you need prayer, and asking, like, do you need prayer for this? That's a whole nother question. You assuming that you know things. And I was like, no, 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 it ain't going to be me. And then I just felt like God said, you are enthroning your own desires and your fears above him. And so I had to dethrone myself and come under the obedience of God. And I'll tell you what, I ended up praying for that girl. And it was the craziest thing. I saw years of abuse and years of lies from the devil break off of her in moments. And it was amazing. You guys, I'm still in amazement of what God did in those few moments. But I had to consecrate. I had to say, you know what? This is not about me. I know that God has the power to heal. So I'm going to pray for healing right now. And he came through. And I was amazed. I was amazed. And God wants to do that in our lives. So here's talking about spiritual growth. He's talking about the word of God is how we get to this deep place. So everyone turn to 2 Timothy 3:16. We're going to be parked here for a minute. 2 Timothy 3:16. Does anyone love Jesus tonight? Come on now. 2 Timothy 3:16. It says all scripture. And if anyone's in here and you're not really, you haven't been coming to church for a very long time, that word scripture means the Bible. All scripture is breathed out by God. So right there, we can be confident that the word of God is true. The word of God is coming from God himself. And then it says it is profitable for teaching. So he says the word of God is profitable for teaching. You see, when you read this, God wants to teach you things. God wants you to read this on your own time because he wants to teach you things for himself. You want to talk about deep? You know what's deep? Is when you read the word at home by yourself and you read that and you're like, did God just speak to me? Like that is deep when you get a revelation from God that the preacher didn't tell you, that nobody told you except the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. I gotta tell you, that is some deepness when God speaks to you at your home, in your room, by yourself. That is deep. And he says he wants to teach you some things. He wants to teach you how to be a better boss. And here, he wants to teach you how to be a better friend. And here, he wants to teach you how to be a better wife, how to be a better husband. He wants to teach you how to find a girl. Come on, somebody, help them. He wants to teach you how to use your finances. He wants to teach you how to be restored. All of that is in here. That's deep. That's spiritual maturity. Then it goes on to say, it says, profitable for teaching and for reproof and for correction. Yikes. It says for reproof and correction. It's about to get ugly, okay? Just stay seated. It's about to get ugly. He says this right here, this is also for change. This is for change. You want that deepness with God that you are desiring. You want God to do something amazing in your life, in your relationships, in your prayers. It's going to take change. He says, when you read this, you can't help but change. And it's nothing ugly. Sometimes I'll be reading it. I'm thinking about all the people that should be reading it because they all messed up. And I'm like, Lord, if you would only tell them this. And then God just drops in my heart, oh, Beth. You know that bad attitude you always got? I'm like, that's Jaden. That ain't me. That's Jaden for sure. Or he'll say, man, I think you can up your giving a little bit. I think you could treat that person better. You see, God is going to speak to you when you're reading this because you're going to get to know the heart of God and you're going to realize that some of the stuff we're involved in, some of the stuff we let into our lives, some of the stuff we put up with, God doesn't want. God does desire, and soon he'll enable you to make those changes. Does anyone just want to stay the same? Y'all, I want some change in my life. I want to go deeper with him. I want to see God move in my heart in ways I've never seen before. It's for correction, reproof. And then it goes on to say in 2 Timothy 3:16. It says, and the word of God is profitable for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete and equipped for every good work. See, the word of God, as we get to know him, as we get in full devotion with him, this is usually where we kind of stop. Like we get all into the word. We're coming to church. We're learning. We're getting all this revelation. And then we just kind of hold on to it. But that's not what deepness is. You're not getting the full devotion if you stop there. He says, the word of God is profitable for training that the man of God may be complete and equipped for every good work. God's saying, now I want you to do something with what you have. Now that revelation that you got, now those changes that you made, God's saying, now it's time to do something. All those things maybe God's been speaking to you about, maybe there's like this somebody in your heart that you just can't, you can't stand them. And God's just been, as you've been in the word, as you've been coming to church, they've just been on your heart. God's saying, well, now do something. Pray for them. Forgive them. Stop flipping them off when they turn around. I don't know. Do something with what we're learning. Maybe you have all this word of God on the inside of you, got all this revelation, but you ain't telling nobody. Maybe you need to text somebody and say, hey, let's go to coffee and just talk about the word of God with them. Maybe it's to pray with somebody. Maybe it's to buy somebody lunch. I don't know what it is, but God's saying there needs to be action, because without the action, it's just potential. I don't want potential. I want the power of God in my life. He's asking us for action. This is what the deep is. The deep isn't as abstract as we thought. The deep is a place of spiritual maturity, a place of seeking God, a place of seeking wisdom. And it says that he will do amazing things among us. God also talks about prayer and worship. You want to be fully devoted. You want to get to know this God in your life. Prayer and worship. Man, when you pray, you're just talking to him. I think we get a little caught up in that as well. Like, anybody ever put on a timer? You're like, I'm going to pray for this whole song. And you put on an 8-minute song. You're like, no, I shouldn't do that. I put a 3-minute song. Right? So, you know what I'm saying? Like, you trying to forward that song through that chorus. We get a little bit caught up with all these rules and regulations. But remember, it's fully devoted. It's getting to know him. It's getting to see him. It's getting to understand him. It's letting him speak to you and you speak to him. I think that maybe some of us in this room, we've grasped this concept. But at the same time, we haven't. Because although I've been a Christian for a really long time, I have so much to learn. And I would even venture to say, I'm still in the shallow, y'all. Like, I'm making my way out, but I'm still in the shallow. I may have some floaties, but I'm making my way out to the deep. And so nobody is above this. But it says it with prayer and worship in Psalms 145:18. The Lord is near. I love that. The Lord is near to all who call on him. To all who call on him in truth. Man, maybe someone in this place, you've been feeling like you felt like God was a little far. You feel like God was a little distant. You wondering, where you at? It says he is near to those who call on him. Can I encourage you, if that's you in this room, would you call on him tonight? We're going to leave room for God to move at the end, but call on him. Pray to him. Worship him. He responds to those who call on him. You know, I think as I'm talking about reading the word, and as I'm talking about prayer, and as I'm talking about really going deep with God, I think some, there might be some people in this room who are like, I should not have come here tonight. I knew she was a radical the way she was screaming up there. These radical Christians always making Christians look bad. Read the Bible, read the Bible, read the Bible. And maybe you're thinking, Beth, this is a little much. This is a little much. Can I just come to church? I'm going to be honest with you. I'm afraid we have cheapened the gospel. We have cheapened the gospel by allowing people to buy in without selling out. By allowing people to convince people, hey, it's going to be easy. You can come in. You don't even have to read your Bible. You don't got to pray. We make them think it's this thing they can just buy in without selling out. But the reality is, if you want the deep, you have got to be sold out. If you want the deep, there has to be some sacrifice. If you want the deep, there has to be some effort. Because God has things for you in the deep. Y'all, I've been praying for you. I've been praying. I prayed for myself too, but I prayed for you too. I just felt like God was saying, man, there's so much in front of them. I hope they make their way out to it. I hope they don't stay in the shallow, because there's so much for them. So Joshua, they consecrate themselves, and God promised to do something amazing. Let's see what he actually did. In Joshua 3:7, if you guys want to go back there, Joshua 3:7, we'll find out what God had promised to do. 3:7, it says, the Lord told Joshua, today I begin to make you a great leader in the eyes of all the Israelites. They will know that I am with you, just as I was with Moses. Give this command to the priests who carry the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant in that time just simply, in simple terms, represent the presence of God with them. Then it says this, when you reach the banks of the Jordan River, take a few steps into the river and stop there. And let's drop down to verse 12. It says, now choose 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one from each tribe, the priests who will carry the Ark of the Lord of the earth. And then listen to this. As soon as their feet touch the water, the flow of water will be cut off upstream, and the river will stand up like a wall. God promised to do something amazing. And how many of y'all know that God is faithful when he makes a promise? I said, how many of y'all know that God is faithful? So he said he would do something amazing. And then you find that when they come to the Jordan River, that God had stopped the river upstream and the rest of the water stood up like a wall. You know what's interesting that you don't find? You don't find Joshua trying to do the amazing thing with a bucket of water. Everybody hold up, hold up. I said, hold up. I got to hold this water back. He wasn't trying to do the amazing thing himself. He simply consecrated himself. And God did it for them. And they saw an amazing thing that changed their life forever. And so maybe some of us in this room, the beginning of that message, you were like, whoa, okay, I hear you, Beth. And then others of us in this room, you might be saying, Beth, I feel like I'm doing all the things you said. But I feel stuck. Has anyone ever felt stuck in their relationship with God? Like, it's the worst, though. Like, you feel like the worst Christian. I feel stuck all the time. But you feel stuck. You're saying, I'm trying, and I'm doing, and I'm seeking, and I kind of just feel like, okay, where's the presence of God? Well, I pray in the name of Jesus that after tonight, you will be unstuck, and the presence of God is going to hit you so hard. But Joshua, I feel like the next thing that he does is a lot of the reasons we tend to get stuck. Joshua 4:20, this is after God just did this amazing thing and he was faithful to do it. It says, it was there at Gilgal that Joshua piled up the 12 stones taken from the Jordan River. So he went to the Jordan River and he grabbed 12 stones. Then Joshua said to the Israelites, in the future, your children will ask, what do these stones mean? Then you will tell them, this is where the Israelites crossed the Jordan on dry ground. For the Lord your God dried up the river right before your eyes, and he kept it until you were all, and he kept it dry until you were all across, just as he did with the Red Sea. When he dried it up, we had all crossed over. And so basically, I'm sorry, I'm a bad reader. All of you are like, just read the verse. I know. But what he did is he gathered 12 stones and he placed them as a memorial for what God had done. And he said, this is it. Man, God did it. I'm just gonna stay here for a while. Man, God just did something faithful. He did amazing. I'm just gonna chill out here for a minute. And I think that represents a lot of us, because how many guys in this room, you've been doing so good with God? Man, you reading that Bible, you talking to Jesus, he's moving, he's speaking, and then you kind of just coast. And then you kind of just, you're not really growing, you're kind of just there. You see, Joshua, he built a memorial of something amazing and incredible that happened. He said, I'm just going to stay here. Maybe God did something in your life and you're saying, I keep looking back. I keep saying that was so cool. God did an amazing thing through me. And you're kind of like Joshua, just staying there. But did you know that the next thing God asked Joshua to do, the next thing he asked Joshua to do, Joshua is the most famous for that thing. It was Jericho. Most people know who Joshua is because of Jericho. They don't know about anything else, but they know because of Jericho. You see, the thing God just did with the water and the river and the people, it was amazing. But Jericho, oh my gosh, that was incredible. You see, Joshua could have stayed at where he was at. He could have been satisfied with what he was doing. He could have been content with his relationship with God. But God's saying, no, 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 there's something greater ahead. Don't coast, Joshua. Joshua, don't stop growing. Joshua, I hope you don't just start coasting because something great happened. Joshua, in front of you is something so much greater, but you got to press in, because the thing in front of him was going to cost him more. It was more of a sacrifice. It was harder than the thing before, but it was worth it and it was greater. Why didn't God just let him stay? Because you won't find the fresh experiences of God in the past. You won't. That freshness, that new word, that new experience, that new goodness, that new strength, that new vision, that new dream, you are not going to find that behind you. You will only find that in front of you when you move forward. And maybe some of us, we've been coasting. We've been coasting in our relationship with God. But I wonder today if God's calling you deeper. He's saying, no, 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 there's more in front of you. I think the reality is that it's not bad to have memorials. And it's not bad to look back, because when you look back, you can see the faithfulness of God. But his freshness isn't back there. The new experiences aren't back there. They are in front of you. You know, there's this verse that has always pushed me. Whenever I start to get frustrated with God, whenever I start to wonder, God, what are you doing? Are you asleep? This verse always kind of kicks me in the butt. So if you need a little kick in the butt, please write it down. It's Matthew 9:17. Jesus was speaking and he said, and no one puts new wine into old wineskins. Okay, someone just heard wine and they're like, ooh, I know I'm going after church. They said in the Bible. All right, just calm down. Wait till church is out. It says that no one puts new wine in old wineskins, for the old wineskins would burst from the pressure, spilling the wine and ruining the skins. New wine is stored in new wineskins so that both are preserved. What is Jesus talking about for reals? Jesus is saying, you want something new, but you're doing the same thing you've always done. He's saying you can't get a new experience with me by doing it in your same old ways. Here's my question. How many of you have a routine with God? Like you try to get a routine with God. You try to get your Jesus in. You know what I'm saying, right? Okay, listen. How many of you, your routine had become routine? You know what I'm saying? Like you were so used to the routine, there was nothing new about it. You knew that on your way, you turn on that worship song, but you're not really listening, and then you're going to pray to Jesus for like 2 seconds, and your routine became routine, and we're asking for the awesome, we're asking for the wonder, we're asking for the miracle, and God is saying to us, I literally can't give it to you, because at the state that you're in, you would not be able to sustain it. He's saying there has to be a change. You have to go to the deeper. This spiritual maturity thing, it's not just something to think about. It's something we have to do. Otherwise, you'll always, always miss out on the wonders of God. The deepness of Him. So is there something God speaking to you now? Hey, we need to go deeper in this area. Is there something you're wanting, but God's saying, I can't give it to you until you grow up in this area, until you seek my face in this area? I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's stepping out for you. I don't know if it's stepping out in faith to do something. You're saying, Lord, I want new friends. And you like run for your life, pew, right after service. God's saying, you don't have to do something crazy. Just stick around. Just meet someone new. Maybe you're wanting God to come alive to you in the Word of God. I think that's a huge desire for a lot of us. We are wanting the Word of God just to boom when we open it. We're like, God, you have 3.5 seconds right here. Oh, nope, nothing. Okay, so anyways, God ain't coming. Like, that's totally me. I'm like, Lord, for reals, like, I have got to go, you know? And God's saying, no, no, no. You're using your old ways, expecting the new, and you're never going to get it. There needs to be a shift. There needs to be a change. You know, maybe some of you actually joined a Shift Social. And that's awesome, and I'm so excited for you. And maybe you're saying, maybe God's speaking to you, okay, instead of just coming and just sitting there quietly, maybe you need to share now. Maybe you need to step out and share. Maybe some of you in this place, you've been coming and you've been receiving and you've been consuming the Word of God. Maybe God's telling you it's no longer that you're going to be a consumer. Now you're going to be a distributor of the goodness. And maybe God wants you to volunteer. Maybe God wants you to serve. Maybe God wants you to get involved. Maybe God wants you to step out and ask your sick mom or your sick dad, hey, could I pray for you? I think it's worse to pray for family members than strangers. Strangers, I ain't never gonna see them again, you know. But my family, I'm gonna see them all the time. I remember praying for my mom not too long ago. It was as awkward as you could imagine, all right? You would never even think I was a preacher. I was like, excuse me, ma'am. Could I pray for you, right? I was so nervous. I was so scared. But I did it. God came through. I don't know what it is. But I don't want to stay the same. And I think there's things in the deep for you and me. I think there's promises God has. I think there's experiences God has in front of us. It needs to come alive. And others of you, like I talked about, you feel a little don't know how to say it. Like I said, a little dead inside. A little hopeless. A little wondering, how much longer can I do this thing? How much longer can I keep hoping I feel God until I tap out? I'll tell you what, you seek his face. You go to the deeper. You step out. You listen to his Holy Spirit right now. And you will feel him. You will see the awesome and the wonders of his goodness. You know, there's one more verse I do want to read. And the band wants to come up. We don't have a lot of time, but I'll make time. Hallelujah. We don't have a lot of time, but I want to read to you from John 21. And, you know, there's not a lot of scriptures in the Bible that I say, I wish I could be there. But this scripture, oh, I wish I could have been there. I wish I could have seen what went down on this beach. In John 21, verse 4 through 8. It says, at dawn, Jesus was standing on the beach. This was after Jesus went to the cross. And some of the disciples, they hadn't seen him yet. They thought he was still dead, y'all. All right? They thought he was still dead. They thought that that their Savior was defeated. And here, Jesus was on the beach. And disciples are on a boat, far off. It says, Jesus called out. They don't know who's talking. They don't know it's their Savior. Jesus called out, fellows, have you caught any fish? No, they replied. Then he said, throw out your net on the right-hand side of the boat and you'll get some. At that point, I feel like I'd be like, this sounds familiar. Ain't nobody tell me how to fish but Jesus. So they did, and they couldn't haul in the net because there were so many fish in it. Then the disciples, whom Jesus loved, Peter said, it's the Lord. He realized in that moment, wait, that's Jesus. Then it says, when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his tunic and he jumped into the water and he headed to the shore. The others stayed in the boat and they pulled the loaded net to the shore, for they were only about 100 yards away. I like that they say it was only 100 yards when Peter was swimming in it, okay? I wish I could have been there to see when Peter saw this for the first time. There he is in the boat, and he think his Savior is gone, and he's done, and it's over. And suddenly, afar off on the beach, he gets this revelation. That's my Jesus. Hold up. That's Jesus. And he doesn't wait for the ship to come in. He doesn't wait for anything. It says he jumped into the water. It didn't matter what it was going to take. It didn't even matter if they came with him. He said, I'm going to the deep. I'm going in. I'm going to get to my Savior. I don't care what it takes. And I wonder tonight, is there anyone in here who says, I don't care what it takes. I don't care what I look like. I don't care what sacrifices I have to make. I don't care the pain it might take me to. I'm getting to my Jesus, your Savior, the one who died for you. He just did it. He went. Man, I want to be like Peter. I just want to just get in there. Go after his presence. Go after his goodness. I ain't got time to wait. I ain't got time for someone else to do it to encourage me to do it. I ain't got time for that. There's a deepness that is waiting for me. And so tonight, if everybody could stand. I think that if you call on God, he's faithful to come. I think that if you call on the Spirit of God, he's faithful to give you what you want. You know, right before we left to Mexico, or actually farther along than that, me and Jaden were talking, and then one day I just said, you know, I remember being in youth, and I remember being young, and I feel like all the time I was asking God for stuff. I was like, God, I want your presence. God, I want to heal people. God, I want to do this. And God would do it. But as I got older, my prayers changed. They weren't as outrageous. They weren't as wild. They weren't as fun. They were about bills and stuff. You know what I'm saying? Like, who wants to pay bills? And I said, you know what I want to pray for? I said, I want to pray for the anointing to heal people. And I want God to give it to me. And I don't want it because I want to be special. I don't want it because I want to be famous. I literally break for people who are in pain. It's just a burden on my heart. It's just something that just, oh, it breaks me. And I did. I prayed. I prayed in the car. I said, Lord, give it to me. I said, God, I need that anointing. Give it to me. I want it. And in that time, I began to study the Word of God. I began to pray. I began to go deep. I began to get spiritually mature in that area. You know, since I prayed that prayer, I have seen people that were supposed to die in the hospital come out. I have seen blind eyes open. I have prayed for somebody here who had a deaf ear and now they can hear. Y'all, just yesterday, I was at the hospital praying for somebody, and I believe in the name of Jesus, they're healed. Last Wednesday, we prayed for a young man. He had a thyroid issue. I stuck my hand on him. I said, in the name of Jesus, last Wednesday, he brought a doctor's report that said the doctors are confused because he ain't got no more problems. You see, if you ask for it, you shall receive it. What are you asking for? What do you want from him today? Do you want the deep? Do you want the different? Do you want the wild? Do you want the adventure? Do you want his goodness? Do you want his spirit? And so today we're going to pray. I don't know what it is you want. I can't tell you what it is. I can't tell you what you need to change. But I know that God can. So we're going to open up this altar. And if you want to come and if you want to pray for something, if you want to pray for that deep, if you want to pray for an anointing, if you want to pray for something in your life, I got to tell you, don't wait for someone else to come up. You got to do this yourself. And you got to pray out to him yourself. Because he said, if you ask anything in my name, you shall receive it. So let's sing that song. And this altar is open to pray to God.
It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs.